Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want to talk to you today about a subject that for the last couple of weeks has been laid on my heart to share with you. If I could only teach you one thing, one lesson or one value, what would that be? And I honestly think that that answer would be, I would teach you to value prayer. I think the thing that we as Christians and we as a church, we don't value prayer as much. I mean, how long has it been since you've been to an all-night prayer meeting? How long has it been since you've had hours just praying, talking to God and being still and communing with Him? I mean, I'm not condemning anybody if you haven't done that. I'm not saying that that's what the goal is, but I think that we have lost the value of prayer in church, and we've transferred.
A song. I've never heard that before. I love it. That's the gospel, really. That's what the gospel's all about.
Maybe having some sound difficulty right now. I can hear what I said something earlier, so I'm not quite sure what's going on. Jenny is working on that.
I'm sure. Appreciate that very much.
So Jenny, you have to let me know. Do I continue or need to wait?
For the last couple of weeks has been laid on my heart to share with you. If I could only teach you one thing, one lesson or one value, what would that be?
Hey, Jenny, so I hear my voice.
I honestly
so what am
think
I doing
that
here?
Answer would be, I would teach you to value prayer. I think the thing that we as Christians and we as a church, we don't value prayer as much. I mean, how long has it been since you've been to an all-night prayer meeting? How long has it been since
All right. And now, are we still live or no? Okay. Okay. So should I continue or should I stop? Okay. All right. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. If you're watching, and I know it's difficult to watch on a computer screen or when you transfer it to your TV, and then we have little glitches here and there. We're working on them, believe me. But let me try to continue. This may be for someone tonight that's very important for you to hear this message. I want to talk to you about the subject of prayer. I want to go to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5. He said that when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Let's look at these words for a moment, how important that is. Notice it starts with the word but, which is a contrasting word. And you have to go back to see what Jesus was talking about. He was just referring to the Pharisees who liked to pray in public, who liked to be seen. They'd stand out on the street corners, or they would stand up in the synagogue. They wanted to be noticed. And so there's a place and a time that we should pray in public by all means, and we need to lead people in prayer in public. That's a good thing. But it's not to be seen. It's not to be noticed. And so here Jesus is contrasting what real prayer is with what the Pharisees, who were the leaders, the religious leaders, were doing. And Jesus said, now look, when you pray, don't be like them. They're just a bunch of hypocrites trying to be seen, trying to be noticed. But what prayer is about, it's about you and God getting alone somewhere where no one is hearing you pray but God. No one is seeing you pray but the Father who sees in secret. And then he goes on to say something. He says, go into your room. I want to stress something to you, and I did this last week. You need to have a place where you pray. Do you have a place where you pray that's your designated place? I mean, for me right now, I go out on the back porch in the morning while it's still cool, and I'm there alone with the Lord, and it's my place to pray, unless it's raining. It's just, I love to go there and be still. Sometimes it could be my living room. You may have a room where you pray. If you saw the War Room movie, you saw the lady in the War Room movie, she had a designated room, and that would be wonderful, where you'd have a room designated to pray. Call it your War Room, and you put up your scriptures and your promises that God has given you, and pictures of loved ones that you're praying for, and things you're believing God for. That would be awesome to do that. But I don't have that right now. I have a back porch. That's where I meet with God. And of course, I pray other places as well, but that's a special place. And so I want to encourage you to get serious about your prayer life. And when you do, God is going to move in your life in some incredible ways. But you need to have a place to pray. So Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room. When Pam and I were first married, I got saved when I was 19. And so I was a new Christian. We were just married. We lived in a little tiny apartment in Virginia, and it was a one-bedroom apartment. It was very small. And then some relatives came to visit. I think it was Pam's mom and dad came to visit us and stay there. And so it was my custom then. I was learning about the importance of prayer. I would get up in the morning, and I would go spend some time alone with God, read a little devotional, but I would spend some time in prayer before I would go off to work. And so now we had company in the house, and so my designated place of prayer in the living room was gone. And so I thought, well, I'd go outside and walk. Well, it was raining cats and dogs. So we had an old 67 Ford Fairlane parked out front, didn't have any air conditioning. So I went out and got in the car, and I shut the door, and there I had my prayer time with God. Now, the windows steamed up real fast, probably people wondering, what's that guy doing out there in the car? But I was praying. I found a place where I could be alone with God, and I think that's important. Go into your room, Jesus said, and shut the door. Shut the door. You're going to have to shut out distractions. You're going to have to let people realize that right now it's time with you and God, and you need to be alone, and you shut the door. It's like last week when I referred to Hannah when she prayed. The Bible says she poured out her heart before God, and her lips were moving, but you couldn't hear her voice. And Samuel the prophet thought she was drunk. And people are going to misunderstand you when you take prayer serious and you make it a priority in your life, and you have a designated place, a designated time where you go and pray. And you're going to have to do this if you're going to get serious, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to disrupt a prayer life. You get serious with God. So this is to be done in secret. Jesus said, when you pray to your Father who is in secret. You don't see him. It's private. But he's right there with you. This is going to take faith to see and talk to a God that you don't see, touch, or feel, but he's right there. And here you're to be alone with God so that you can be honest and you can be transparent and you can open up your heart to God. And he already knows everything, but it's therapy for you and healing for you to be able to open up and pour out of your heart your request, your thanksgiving, the things, whatever you want to talk to God about. That's what prayer is all about. And here's a great promise with this scripture, and I want you to see it again. The great promise is, at the bottom of this verse, it says, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Wow. So he'll reward you. When you do this privately, you work on your prayer life, so you have this thing going with God and you, and you meet at a certain place in a certain time, and you talk and you till you get your heart emptied out of the things that you need to talk to God about. God is going to reward you openly. What's that reward going to be? I don't know. It could be answers to prayer. Primarily, I think it's going to be a change in your life. You know, a lot of times we pray to get our circumstances changed, and that's okay. But I don't know that prayer is really for that purpose alone. I think prayer is more changing us, and regardless of our circumstances. And I attribute whatever good changes I've had in my life in the 40 plus years of knowing the Lord, I attribute it to prayer, not so much to all the Bible study, and that's important, and going to church, that's important, but I attribute it more to just that one-on-one time with God, just talking to God, being honest with God, sharing with God, sometimes complaining to God, and being real with God. And here's the promise. So God says, you talking to him in secret, and he'll reward you openly. So if you'll dedicate this time not to be seen by people, you don't go around telling people what you're doing. This is just time with you and God. Nobody else needs to know about this but you and God. If you'll do that, he says he'll reward you openly. Mm-hmm. Some way, somehow, he will reward you openly. Mm-hmm. So when you come to God, when you pray, that's a real exercise of faith. Think about that. I mean, you don't see him. You don't hear him. You don't necessarily feel God. You're exercising a level of faith here that God has given you. And so as every time you exercise faith, faith grows. And so you've been given a measure of faith, and God wants you to exercise that faith. And prayer is one of the primary ways you're going to exercise that faith. Now, if you're new as a Christian, you don't really know a lot about prayer, or you struggle with prayer. You can be a Christian for a long time and still struggle in the area of prayer. Jesus was asked by his disciples who were walking with him, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Would you teach us how to do this? We see you get up every day and go off alone and be with God for a certain amount of time. And we want to know how to do this. We don't know how to pray. We want to know how to pray like you. Now, they knew how to pray. They were Jews. They were taught, you know, ritual prayers and so forth like that. And they had the Psalms and the prophets. But they were wanting to know how to pray like Jesus prayed. So Jesus gave them a template, so to speak. Like, here's a beginner's booklet on how to pray. This will give you a guide so you know how to pray. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It was the Lord's Prayer that he gave the disciples to put into practice as they pray. And when you take this Lord's Prayer, you can pray it under 60 seconds. That's not the point. It's not just saying the words. It's to be used as a guide to help you pray certain topics that need to be talked about and discussed between you and God. Now, another good thing to do is use the Psalms and pray. And even this Sunday, I'm going to be talking to you about God as our shepherd and how you can take Psalm 23 and pray that over your family and personalize. I'm going to show you how to do that. The Psalms are a beautiful way to take something that God has given and use it as a guide to pray and personalize it in your own circumstances. But let's just take the breakdown briefly for a moment, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start off with adoration. Jesus is teaching disciples, if you want to pray, you start off with first acknowledging God's presence and adoring him, you know, hallowing his names. And you've learned a lot about the names of God lately if you've been at Grace Tabernacle. So you've got a lot of information there to use for inspiration to take it into prayer. And so you use this. And so you let the Spirit of God lead you, and he will lead you. But you take some time just honoring God. Lord, I thank you that you're my Jehovah Shammah. You're my Lord who's in my future. You know the words I'm going to speak before I speak. You personalize that. Thy kingdom come. That's another section. See, these are sections in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that you're to take, and then you personalize them according to your need. Thy kingdom come. I want to be aligned to your kingdom, your priorities, your government, God. I'm praying for that in my life. See, I pray that for my family. And then give us this day our daily bread. I'm in dependence upon you. This is aligning ourselves, looking to God, asking for provision that we need. And you might be more specific. You need this and you need that. I looked through a prayer journal that I had from years ago today in my office, and I was looking at, I was praying specifically for we needed an extra $100 to be able to pay for books for the kids to be homeschooled in. I mean, I was just specific, and I wrote things down, and I talked to God about it, and I kept a record of it. And so give us this day our daily bread. I'm dependent upon you. Get specific about your needs. God wants you to. He knows them, but he wants you to get specific about it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's another section. Because God knows how we are. We can easily take offense, or we can cause an offense for somebody. And so we have got to walk in love. We've got to walk in forgiveness or prayer is not going to be effective. Mm-hmm. Our life is not going to be affected. If we harbor resentment and bitterness and things, it sours us on the inside like a cancer that gets inside you. Forgive us, Lord, my debts in the same way you've already forgiven me. Mm-hmm. What I've received, now I got to give. And you're probably going to have to mention some people by name. Lord, I forgive this knucklehead and that knucklehead or whatever it may be. And I release it. They don't owe me a thing. They don't owe me an apology. I release them. I forgive them. And you go through this. See, this is all a template in prayer, you know. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, God doesn't lead us to be tempted. That word there, temptation, God never tempts us. That word there is talking about harsh trials. God, I pray that we not have to go through harsh trials to learn what I need to learn while I'm here on earth. I pray that I'll recognize your leading and I'll follow your leading. Lead us not into those harsh trials, God, but deliver us from the evil one. We do have an enemy, and he's out to kill, rob, and destroy from your life. Deliver me from my strong enemy, God. Deliver me from. And here's a good place where I pray on the armor of God. I just go through it piece by piece in Ephesians 6, and I won't do it now, but you can do that. And so you see this Lord's Prayer, when Jesus gave this to the disciples, he's just giving them, here's a beginner's guide. Now you take this, each one of you, and you take it into your own life, and you go into your prayer closet, and you make it yours, and you pray. Now, this is, then of course he ended with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So remind us why we're here. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. And so that keeps your heart humble. Now, some people get discouraged with prayer, and I have too at times, because I prayed a long, hard time about something and didn't see the answers to the prayers. But the danger, you won't pray very long if all you see prayer is as a means to an end.
Yeah.
You won't last very long. You'll quit. You'll give up. And there are a lot of discouraged people probably I'm talking to tonight. You're faithful. You're watching church on Wednesday nights. That's rare. And your prayer life, though, is really weak and sickly right now because you've been discouraged and you just don't see the value in prayer. Martin Luther, who was the great reformer, of course, the Lutheran church came out of Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, he said these words. He said, I am so busy. I've got so much to do that today I've got to spend at least 4 hours in prayer because of all the things I've got to do. Can you imagine?
Wow.
4 hours in prayer. And he's already busy, but he said, because I'm so busy, I've got to spend this extra time in prayer. Look at the difference there of understanding. When we take it just the opposite, we say, wow, I'm so busy. I can only give 15 minutes. And John Wesley said the same thing. He said, I got so much to do. I've got to spend this time in prayer. And look at the success of their lives. We're talking about them today and the effect of their lives upon the whole world. And they valued prayer so much, they said, I can't live without this. They learned something that we need to learn. And so don't look at prayer as just a means to your end to make your life comfortable and get your problems fixed and all that. It's more than that. Prayer is probably more about changing us than it is about changing our circumstances. You think about that. God could change our circumstances like that. But prayer, by spending that time in prayer, talking to God about these things that are on your heart, is really about changing us. And prayer is a mystery. There's no question about it. We don't fully understand it. Why does God want us to pray? And yet it's his idea. But it's a mighty force here on earth. Mm-hmm. And I want you to catch this tonight because this is very, very important. We don't realize the impact of prayer, but this is God's idea. He wants us to be a house of prayer. He wants his church to be known as a house of prayer. He wants his people to be known as a house of prayer. Why pray? Why bother? Things going to happen just the way they're going to happen anyway? No. Prayer. God has designed prayer as to be a weapon in your hands that can actually restrain the enemy or stop the enemy's plans that he had planned on doing. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, I think it was John Wesley, said, nobody gets to heaven without somebody praying for him.
Wow.
He believed that. He believed that there is nobody going to get saved unless there had been somebody praying. So prayer is a very, very powerful thing. I don't know if you ever read the book by Frank Peretti called This Present Darkness. It came out years ago. And it was a very eye-opening book on about how we are spiritual beings. And the most fascinating part of the book to me was the fact that when the weakest saint prayed, when a little child prayed a prayer in the spirit realm that the humans couldn't see, but the book was revealing, the demons were getting frustrated and panicking anytime anyone would pray the weakest prayer, because somehow that would frustrate their plans or restrain their plans or stop some things. Mm-hmm. And so, and I believe that's really the way it really is in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Jesus said it, he said it like this. Look at this scripture in Matthew 18:18. Jesus said to us, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, that's a powerful word. That's talking about prayer. And specifically, the word bind is the word dio, but what it means is to restrain, to hold back, to prevent something. And so Jesus is saying, whatever you've got delegated authority in my name, so whatever you, church, bind is going to be bound. And whatever you loose is going to be loosed, because you have delegated authority to act on his behalf and to carry out his plans and his work here on the earth. So we can restrain and frustrate Satan's plans on planet earth if we pray. And how many of us really know how many of Satan's plans have been frustrated or restrained or stopped altogether because we prayed? Mm-hmm. Maybe someone's still alive because we prayed. Maybe someone, a tragedy didn't happen because we prayed. We don't know that here. And that's not for us to know. We're to have the confidence that when we pray, something's happening. We may not know what's happening, but every time a saint of God prays, something happens every time, even the weakest prayer. So the Lord says these words. He says, if two of you agree, verse 19, if two of you agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Something about the unity part, something about coming together. If two, at least two of you agree on earth, there's an accumulated power in unity that's not there in just a single person. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, but here's the word of God. God's letting us know. This happens in an invisible realm. You don't see it, but if two of you will agree on earth, there's accumulated power that comes as a result of unity. And this is why it is very important for husbands and wives to pray together. That is a special bond. The strongest bond on earth between humans is marriage, a husband and wife. But then when a husband and wife pray together, that is an accumulated unity that God honors and heaven is aware of and the spiritual world is very much aware of. And that's why, honestly, there's probably not very many husbands and wives that pray together very much other than just a meal. Satan will do anything he can to thwart and stop the power. And the power comes when we agree together. Mm-hmm. So if you're a husband, a wife listening, it's vital for you to somehow get where you and your spouse start to pray together. You can't force people to do that, but you should get there. When Pam and I were first married, and she got saved after I did, and I wanted her to pray with me, and let's pray together. And she was real shy about that. And I was trying to force her to do it. And she said, I ain't going to do that. I pray on my own and you pray on your own. But over a period of time, it took some time. She just gradually learned, and I was more patient with her, and she learned how to pray with me. Now she's powerful in prayer. But when we pray together, that's a greater power than it is when you're by yourself. Now, let's go on with this scripture. It says where it goes on to say in verse 20, this powerful scripture right here, it says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." This is verse 20 of this, what Jesus taught me, the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement with God's will accomplish his will on earth. He says, "There I am with you." He's present to enforce our prayers. He's present to enforce them. He's present to make things happen that would not happen had we not prayed. He wants us to know this. So there I am. I'm right there. I'm there to enforce this. I'm there to back up your words. I'm not just having you do a vain, empty, ritualistic thing and act religious. I'm there to make those words that you have spoken out of your mouth come to pass here on the earth. Power of your words. That's right. So prayer and agreement with God will accomplish God's will on earth. There I am in the midst of it. He will enforce our prayers. We've been in ministry for quite a few years, about 35 or something years. And we've seen a lot of wonderful ministries and prosperity of ministries and so forth. And we've also, unfortunately, seen a lot of ministries, probably as you have, that have gone by the wayside. They've gone into the ditch of immorality, or they say it's usually the glory. The people go after the glory or the gold or the girls. And those are the things that get ministries in trouble. And we've seen a lot of that, unfortunately. And one evangelist one time who had been around for a long time was asked by a pastor how he had, "You've seen a lot of people in ministry that were very anointed, but they fall into the ditch." And he said, what do you think happened? At one time they were very powerful and very strong in the Lord, but then all of a sudden, you know, something, what do you think, what was it that happened? And he said, "I think it was this. They prayed until they got what they wanted." Now, that's very important, and I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. Prayer is your exercise of faith. I'm going to be so blunt with you to say that if you don't have a prayer life, then I'm going to say to you that you're not exercising faith in God. You have developed some degree of pride. You think you can handle it yourself. That's a danger. And that's what these ministers fell into. They prayed until they got what they wanted. And then they felt like they're too busy and they're too important. And their prayer life went aside. You want to know if you're backsliding? You want to know if you're slipping backwards? Watch your prayer life. If your prayer life is diminishing, you're going backwards. In spirituality and walking with the Lord, you're either going forward or backwards. You're not just standing still. You're always moving one way or the other. And one of the ways you check that is with your prayer life. And so when they got what they wanted, they quit praying. So that's why prayer is so important. And this is why I think lately the Lord just impressed upon me to speak this to myself, to remind me, and to remind you that we've got to make sure our prayer life is in order. And we got to make sure that we have an effective prayer life the way God intended. There was one scripture in the Bible I want to close out with tonight. Was a man who had tremendous success in the Lord. Oh my goodness. He was a king. He was the king of Judah for 52 years. And he had some incredible, awesome things happen. He just had all through his 52 years of his reign, he had great breakthroughs. They were just, his kingdom just began to flourish and flourish and flourish. But unfortunately, toward the end of his life, is when things, after he rose to this great amount of success, at the end of his life, when things started going south. And he had, there's one verse of scripture that I want to share with you that I think is really what the whole problem was. And it's right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. And it says, "As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success." Mm-hmm. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. This was King Uzziah. And he became king as a young boy. had great success, but in the end of his life, he got prideful and he got leprosy. And then he died a leper, in fact. And he died being very prideful, and he got so busy and so important with his life that his prayer life diminished. You see, seeking the Lord, what do you mean seeking the Lord? Prayer. That's what prayer is. Well, what do you mean seek the Lord? He's right here with me. I know, but prayer is you're seeking God on a personal level, going deeper with intimacy. And when you pray, you're seeking the Lord. What do you have for me, God? What do you want to talk to me about? Let me pour my heart out to you. Let me listen to you. Give me wisdom how to do this or do that. And when you pray, you're seeking God. And may I say, when you're not praying like you ought to be praying, you're not seeking God. Oh, you may be going to church. You can go through all the motions. You can be singing songs of praise and all that, and that's good and that's wonderful. And you can be reading your Bible. But when your prayer life diminishes, you're not seeking God. And that's the way God looks at it. And I agree with him on that. I know that's been true of my own life as well. And so tonight I want to encourage you, and I want to inspire you to say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to set my alarm, and I'm going to get up at a certain time in the morning. And I'm going to spend some extra time with God in prayer. I'm going to ask the Lord to teach me how to pray. I'm going to be still and listen. One of the greatest men I know alive today that knows more about prayer than probably most people I'm aware of said to me some time ago, it shocked me. He said, my prayer life has changed. I said, how so? He said, I do more listening now than talking. And I thought, what do you do? What do you mean? You just listen? You hear something? He said, I just still, and I just listen, and I just be still. I do that more now than I do the talking. And that comes with maturity. That comes with an understanding of what God wants you to do. But the key in prayer is not to become ritualistic, religious about it. Pray a formula, pray a Lord's Prayer, like you can pray in less than 60 seconds. But it is to be Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit will lead you, but you have to ask him. And then you got to allow him to do it. You got to step back and not run on ahead, but be still and let God. He knows how to get thoughts to come into your mind. He knows how to get you to think about certain things. He knows how to get certain scriptures to come to you or you to see them. And God, you got to have faith that God now is at work, because I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and he'll help you. But you got to have the faith that he'll help you, and then you got to follow his lead. And that's a process. It takes practice, and you'll do well at it if you just practice. So if you're seeking God, you're a person of prayer. If you say you're seeking God but you're not praying, you're a religious person. Big difference. So I'm going to encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Maybe tonight, if you're a night owl, nighttime's a good time to do that. My wife has done that a lot lately. When she can't sleep well at night, she comes out, puts some prayer music on her phone and praise music. And she prays and just talks to God about things. And then that's the way she does in the evening times. Me, I'm a morning person. I like to get up in the morning, have my coffee, go out on the porch, be still with God, listen, take my journal. And when you're serious about prayer, here's one thing I notice that you will do. You will always have your Bible, you'll have a journal, and you'll have a pen. Because God, you're expecting to have a conversation with God. God will share things with you, things you're to do, things you need to take care of. And you need to write some things down. So when you get really serious about prayer, those three things you'll have. You'll have a Bible, you'll have a journal or a pad of paper, and a pen with you. Because if you go to talk to somebody important, you always want to have something to write some things down with to go back over later. Well, thank you for listening tonight, and I want to pray right now for you. Pray with eyes wide open. Father, thank you for putting it on my heart to talk to people who are listening tonight about prayer. Mm-hmm. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you'll take these words, take something that's been said or sung on the song tonight, something out of this broadcast, and reach into people's hearts and inspire them, encourage them, coach them, mentor them, call them to the secret place of prayer. Whether it's tonight or in the early morning hours, call them to prayer and help them to meet with you, to learn how to meet with you. We want to see our circumstances change, but more than that, Lord, we want to change. We want to become a house of prayer. I encourage you at the end of this broadcast, if you've never done so, you might pull up on YouTube or something, take some time to listen to Eddie James' song, House of Prayer, which he's done at our church several times. And that's one of my favorite songs about prayer, called A House of Prayer. Lord, Make Me a House of Prayer by Eddie James. You might want to listen to that tonight and be encouraging you. Well, my wife's here with me. My granddaughter's here with me. You want to say something? Don't point the camera at you. Okay. To threaten me. They're threatening me. All right. Well, we love you. We're praying for you. We're looking forward to seeing you Sunday.
Bless you all.
And bless you all. Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for watching.